You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant, biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
Well, I want to welcome all those that are joining in our digital family. We know you're there. We know you're watching from your house. You're watching from wherever you are, and we're so glad that you're there with us from Siena and Cypress, downtown, the Loop Campus, radio ministry, all the things that are happening. It's amazing because so many things are happening outside of the room you're sitting in right now. Folks are hearing this message and being able to connect with our church in some great ways, so that's an awesome thing. I want you to turn to the book of Revelation, go all the way to the back of your Bible, and we're going to look at the book of Revelation. Well, when you look at the second coming of Christ, it can actually get you excited about the first coming of Christ. So this isn't opposite from Merry Christmas. This is actually going to make our Christmas more merry. And so when we look and see that he's coming back and what that means and how amazing that will be for those that are believers in Christ, we can go, wow, he is in the manger. He has come. Here is Jesus Christ. Merry Christmas to be able to see the Savior of the world coming. Now, where we've been, just to catch you up a little bit, we're looking in the book of Revelation. And what the book of Revelation is, it's a book of unveiling. It's unveiling what will happen in the future when Jesus Christ returns. You know that there will be a time in which what we know as of earth will come to completion and Jesus Christ will return. And we're looking in the book of Revelation to see that. In chapter 1, we see that there is a vision that John has. And Jesus says, write these things down. In chapter 2 and chapter 3, we're able to see letters to the churches, seven churches that he says, here's what I want you to know, and he writes these things down. Then we get to chapter 4, and it switches to heaven. Many commentators think that this is after the rapture, that believers in Christ are taken to heaven. And we look in chapter 4 and chapter 5, and we see into the throne room of God. Isn't it awesome when you get to see some place you don't usually get to see? It's intriguing when we get to look into a spot we don't usually get to see. Well, that happened in a huge way. 1962, it was aired on CBS, NBC, and later ABC. And what it was a videotape tour of Jackie Kennedy taking a reporter through the renovations that had happened in the White House. It was one of the first times that they ever had a documentary, if you will, on TV that they said, we want to focus particularly on the Christmas decorations of the White House. Now it is a thing that we do all the time. It's no big deal. But in that time, it was a very, very special thing. Let me show you a picture of JFK and Jackie Kennedy there with the Christmas tree. So she took the reporters on a tour of the White House. You may even remember seeing footage of that, either back in the day or just on YouTube. The viewing was 80 million viewers in 50 different countries, including Russia and China. Why? Because everyone was so interested, what does the White House look like? What can we see in there? They had heard about these renovations that they had done, that the Kennedys had done, and they wanted to see in there. Well, let me tell you what, we've got something even better. I can't show you the White House in this moment. Here's what I can show you, the throne room of God. I could show you something better than Buckingham Palace. I could show you something better than the White House. I could show you something more great, more what does that look like? And it's the throne room of God, and that's where we are in chapter 5. And when we were in chapter 5 for last week, we've seen elders there, we've seen angels flying around, living creatures, and now we're going to look and we're going to see something that is so hopeful, absolutely hopeful, that we're going to see the unity that heaven brings, the worship that happens in heaven, the prayers. All of this we're going to be able to see, and so I want us to get more excited than if Jackie Kennedy was taking you on a tour of the White House. That you would be able to look into the throne room of God, and that looking into this would make us excited about the manger and looking into the manger and seeing the Savior Jesus Christ. So if you got your listening guide, I want you to grab that, all campuses. If you're online, there's a link there that you can connect with to grab that because you're going to want to take some notes, I believe, on this. But let's jump in with chapter 5, verse 8 through 10. Here we go. Chapter 5, verses 8 through 10. And when he took the scroll, that's Jesus, when he took the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Last week we talked about the Lamb of God being Jesus Christ. Each one had a harp and golden bowls filled with incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, underline new song. for you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals. Remember last week, who's going to open the scroll? There was weeping in heaven because no one was worthy. Well, Jesus is worthy. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open the seals because you were slaughtered. That's the cross. And you purchased people for God by your blood, the blood on the cross. From watch, every tribe, every language, every people, every nation. You made them a kingdom of priests to our God, and they will reign on earth. So now we get this picture of heaven. Last week, there's a scroll. It's the judgment of God, the rewarding for the righteous and the punishment for the wicked. And there's seals on it that we'll see coming up in chapter 6. But when we see that, there was no one worthy to open it up. And John began to cry, and they found one that was worthy. It was the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He was in the line of David. He was the Lamb that was slain, but yet standing because of the resurrection. That's all last week. And then now he takes the scroll, and he's worthy to open it. And what happens is worship in heaven happens. Falling on their knees, the elders fall. The living creatures bow down and they worship him. So here's what is happening. There's a falling down in heaven. Here's what's happening in heaven. Worship is a combo of praise and prayer. It's transcendence that God is mighty and he's great and he owns all of heaven. And it's intimacy as well. So God, if you went to the planet Mars right now, God would be right there with you. You could go to the depths of the ocean and God would be right there with you. God is so vast, so huge. He knows all of history, holds it all in his hand, knows all of the future, holds all of the universe in his hand. He's so transcendent, yet he's so intimate. He knows your problems right now in Cyprus, in Siena, in downtown, in the Loop. Online, he knows exactly what you're going through. He knows every hair on your head. And he knows every human that's ever lived that will ever live. He is transcendent. He's huge and bigger and greater than you can imagine. Yet he's intimate and loves you and cares for you. And not only loves you, he likes you. And God wants to do something in you. So worship here. We see that the elders and the creatures, that they fall down before him in worship, in praise. Yet they've got bowls of incense that are filled with prayers that God hears our prayers. Transcendence falling on their face before God Almighty and yet holding the prayers that you and I have prayed. And there's intimacy that's there as well. What is praise? Praise is not just a Christian karaoke before the message. Praise is that we declare the worth of God. Worship is declaring of worth-ship. See it? Worship, that you're worthy. He's worthy. He's able. He's that great and that amazing. He is incredible. So they fall face down and they sing a brand new song. The old songs won't do. Now they've seen him anew and they sing a new song to him. And there's praise and there's prayer. Now let me ask you where it says new song. Do you sing a new song to the Lord? Not that you're a songwriter, not that you don't like old songs. I like old songs too. The older you get, the more you like the music of the past, right? The younger you are, the more you want new music and new stuff. And what's the latest thing that's coming out from the group that you like? But the older that we get, the further back we go and we say, oh, I like it back here. But I'm not talking about a new song on date. I'm talking about a new song of freshness in you. Do you have fresh worship in your heart for God? Not stale worship, not normal worship, not I like that song worship. Fresh worship for God in your heart. Because when you see God anew, when you're walking with God each day, when you see him in the scriptures each day having your quiet time, when you're reading through devotional thoughts, when you're able to worship the Lord, there's going to be fresh thoughts that you have about the Lord. There's going to be fresh worship that you have. There's going to be ways that you see him differently. So you as a great grandparent should have fresh worship because you have great grandkids. You have an aspect of worship I know not of because I only have kids. Grandparents the same way. There ought to be a new gratitude, a new praise, a new declaration that says, I have fresh worship to you. You know, you can have green bananas and you can have brown bananas. You can have yellow bananas or the what you need to have, obviously, and that you can use for a lot of different things, but brown bananas are only used for one thing, right? Banana bread, that's it. So you got them there, and they get brown. You got to squish them up. You only get one use from it, and when your worship gets stale, you're going to get on one track, and it's probably going to be that you are on a track of your own thinking and your own ways and how you connect with God, and you don't expand and allow God to give you greater and new connections before Him. So I tell you this, have some fresh worship. You don't want it green, you don't want it brown, you want it yellow. You want to be able to use it in a lot of different ways, at your workplace, at your family, in all different generations, in every song that sings. It doesn't matter if you like the song or not, that always helps. But it's the, do we have a new song before the Lord and to be able to worship with God and say, God, I give you my worship. I remember my grandfather, when he was getting older, he said this, Greg, I'm getting so old, I don't buy green bananas anymore. I don't know if I'll be around when they ripen. Let me tell you what, we're not storing up our worship over here. We want it ripe and to be able to give it. So do you have a new song before the Lord? Do you have a new song? It talks about in chapter 14 of Revelation as well, that we'll sing a new song to God. So the praise is new. The praise is fresh. It's a new song, and we're going to see what the song is in just a second. And there's also prayers. Now, these prayers are filling a golden bowl. They're symbolized with incense. Have you ever been to a Catholic church, those of you that grew up Catholic, and the priest would come through and he would swing that thing. I probably should have looked up what it's called, but you know, he would swing that and the incense would just kind of go throughout the church. That was to symbolize the prayers of the saints. So when we're praying to God, it's going up as incense to the Lord, just declaring the greatness of God, and it's burning before Him. It's before His eyes. And the golden bowls are filled. Now, let me just bring out something here. Did you see where it said in verse 8? It said, and the golden bowls were filled. So I ask you two questions. On your praise, is it new and fresh? And are your prayers filling the bowls? Your prayers filling the bowls. Are we praying in a way that's filling it? Not, dear Lord, thank you for this food, and I'm so glad that you gave it to me. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, dear Lord, it's Christmas time. I'm going to the mall. Father, I need a parking spot like nobody's business, Lord, right now. I'm talking about a prayer life that's filling you and filling the bowls, if you will, and filling heaven, if you will. And that happens when we get an unveiling and a new vision of Jesus, and we're able to say, my worship of praise is new and fresh, and my prayers are not just the number of words, that's not going to work, but the depth of heart, so that I'm filling literally, see how precious these are. They're held in golden bowls. Your prayers are held. And then I want to fill that bowl to be a man or a woman of prayer. Now, what happens in this song? Let's look into this song and see what takes place. Verse 9, hope is here. That's our theme. Hope is here. And I want you to look at the hope that we have in this. All of the racial tensions that we've had in our country, I want you to see hope is here in Scripture. You ready? Here we go. And they sang a new song, you who are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals. It begins with Jesus. Because you were slaughtered, the cross of Christ, you purchased people, redeemed by how? For God, by your blood, from every tribe, language, people, and nation. You made them a kingdom of priests to our God, and they will reign on earth. The earthly cross purchased heavenly unity. Hear that. The earthly cross purchased heavenly unity. Now, we have seen a lot of problems with unity in this year of 2020. Now, that doesn't mean that it was only 2020. A lot of those are seeds that are bursting forth fruit in 2020. But we've seen a lot of disunity. And what do we see here in heaven? We see heavenly unity purchased by the cross of Jesus Christ. There's a lot of things that need to change in culture, but the number one thing that needs to change in man is his heart. And so Jesus says, and here it's spoken in this new song, that Christ has redeemed us, that the cross of Christ has paid for our sins. Sins of favoritism, sins of racism, sins of all sorts of things. The cross of Christ has paid for our sins, and we've been actually purchased by His blood, not by philosophy, not by education, not by just different thinking. By His blood, we've been purchased so that we can be men and women that have Jesus Christ in our hearts, and our hearts can be changed. And so what happens is the earthly cross has purchased heavenly unity. Listen to Colossians chapter 2. It says this. So then, just as you have received Jesus Christ as Lord, continue to live in him, being rooted and built up and established in the faith just as you were taught, and overflowing with gratitude. Verse 8, be careful that no one takes you captive through philosophy or empty deceit based on human tradition, based on the elements of the world, rather than Christ. And so what we want to have in our lives is we want to have a trust in the heart change of Jesus that then we live things out differently in our society. So yes, societal change needs to happen, but heart change needs to happen as well. And so we see here the cross of Jesus Christ changes everything and gives us unity in heaven. That is an amazing, amazing thing. Now, this summer, we started a task force, and we called it the Imago Dei Task Force, and I want to tell you what we've done as a church. When the racial tensions and racial rioting and so many things were happening this summer, we put together a task force called Imago Dei Task Force. What is Imago Dei? Image of God is what that means. Image of God. It's not a political think tank. It's the image of God. It's to be able to take church members together that are diverse and to be able to put them together and to say, would you guys and gals, would you talk about these things and help give us some action points so that we as a church can live out what we believe even more than we already do. We want to continue to live this out even more than we already do. We want to be a church that models Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, and other verses in the scriptures all throughout. And so they got together and they came up with some plans. I wrote an article. I hope that you've read it. It's been on our website, right at the front of our website for months now. It's called Protest, Police, People, and the Prince of Peace. Protest, Police, People, and the Prince of Peace. And so it's talking about all of those different things. And to be able to look at that, if you want to look on the website, you can do that, or you can text the code word Imago Dei to 41411. This has been out since October that we've had this. It's a hope that you'll read that and a desire to be biblical, to look at these things through the eyes of the Lord and see the Prince of Peace, that he's the one that can do these things. So the Imago Dei Task Force, they met, they were connected, they want to stay true to biblical values, to embrace really our statement of beliefs. I don't know if you know this, but in our statement of beliefs, it says, in the spirit of Christ, Christians should oppose racism. That's in the Baptist Faith and Message, section 15, that's been there for a long, long, many, many years. We didn't just come up with that. That's been the beliefs all the way through. But just like a good marriage, it takes intentional effort, right? And so we came up with some things that we could do intentionally. One, we have always done this, but we want to continue to do this, to be able to partner with ethnic minority churches and ministries in Houston for mutually beneficial ministry opportunities, fellowship, and learning. So we've had great partnership with our church and other ministries through the years. But that's something we want to continue to do and do more of. We've got, if you'll go to the website, you'll see a resource page. It's got a lot of things you can read, you can watch, you can see, and you can walk through all of those things. So we've got here as well on the webpage, you can find all this information. We want to have a time in this next year that we're able to take a biblical look of what it means to love one another and see each other in Imago Dei through our Life Bible study classes. We want to provide a mid-link class that we can have on a mid-week basis that you can take and you can learn, and we can see a biblical basis. We're not trying to get political. We're trying to get biblical and to be able to understand what God has in that teaching. I'm teaching on the biblical thing right now, and I'll show you these four words, what they mean in the Greek, even more so. So we want to be a part of what God is doing. We want to look like heaven and walk in those ways. Local missions, we outreach in a tremendous way through missions of our church, and we minister to those that are underserved and under-resourced in our community. Our staff is diverse. Our deacon body is diverse. And so we want to have a church that's diverse. And so we want all of those things so that we can look like heaven. It's not a fad. It's something that's right here in the scriptures that we want to be able to do. And so we give emphasis to it for that reason, to be able to see that. So what are these four words? Did you see what they were? They were tribe, language, people, and nation. Tribe. Well, what is a tribe? What does that mean? These are the Greek definitions from these words. Let's take from a biblical Greek scholarly thing of how you define this Greek word of tribe. Tribe is a subgroup of a nation which is regarded as being more closely related biologically than the entire nation. So it's a tribe, and you could think about it in a subgroup of a nation, but it's more closely related biologically than the entire nation. Then there's a language. This is the same Greek word we get in the book of Acts, where it talks about a tongue being spoken, that there's a language, a dialect that is lifted out. Then there's a people group. A people is a socio-political group sharing a presumed biological descent. And then there's a nation. And this is where we get the word, the Greek word for this is ethnos. This is where we get the word ethnic from, okay? From that word there of nation, that it would be an ethnos, a nation, ethnic group, a large group based on various cultural and physical and geographic ties. So what is God saying? He's saying around my throne in heaven, you're going to look and you're going to see somebody that's black and you're going to see somebody that's Hispanic and somebody that's Latino and somebody that's Mexican, someone that's Asian, someone that's white, somebody that's this, that's that, from New York to California, from Michigan to Texas, Mexico to Japan. It's going to be all the way around the throne. Why is that important? Well, do you remember the Great Commission, what Jesus declared for us to be about in Matthew chapter 28? What did he say in Matthew 28? This is what he said. He said that I want you to go into all the world. He says, then Matthew 28, let me say it for you. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then they came to him and said, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. That's a heavenly statement, isn't it? Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations. Same word we got here. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. But you will receive, this is Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. This, my friend, is a wonderful fulfillment of what Jesus declared in the Great Commission and also in Acts chapter 1. You see it? It happened. Go to all the nations. And now they're surrounding the throne. Absolutely incredible, wonderful, awesome. Couldn't be better. Now notice there's an acknowledgement of the differences between all these groups, but there's not a dominance of any one group. See, our Christianity always has to be our lead. I'm not white and happen to be a Christian. I'm Christian and happen to be white. My worldview is Christianity. My faith is paramount. I'm not a man who happens to be a Christian. I'm a Christian that just happens to be male. My Christianity is my defining factor, and that's what rallies around the throne. And so whenever you get that you're this before you're a Christian, whether it's a sports fan, whether it's your vocation, whether it's your race, whether it's your ethnicity, whether it's your national background, whether it's your gender, it doesn't matter. That's not what's supposed to be first. What's supposed to be first is my faith in Jesus Christ. And so that's what we have here in Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. It's the people that have been purchased by the blood of the Lamb, by the slaughtering of the Lamb on the cross, that have trusted in Jesus. Now they are encircling the throne and they are worshiping Christ. And so the dominance is not who they are. The dominance is who they have trusted in. Do you see the difference? That's the hope for the earth, is that we see ourselves past ourselves and into heaven and allow Jesus Christ to be the number one thing. And then now we can rally with different brothers and sisters, no matter young, old, different race, different country, different whatever, different language. And then we go, oh man, that's awesome. Sure, I want to be there with every tribe, every language, every people, and every nation. I want to be there for that. And that's the hope for the racial tensions even within our country, is that we see ourselves past how we see ourselves in the mirror, but we see the Lord and how God has made us in what? The imago Dei, the image of God. You're in the image of God. I'm in the image of God. You may be completely different exteriorly than me, but you and I are both created in the image of God and valued by God. That's the difference. That's the deal. Now let's take that. We've been looking at it kind of in an American, our news reports, our newspapers, and we can get really focused on what's going on present tense. But you know what? The Bible is really not, take the newspaper and then act like it's even with the Bible. It's looking at the Bible and realizing that God's got an eternal plan going on with this. So, you know, this gets even bigger. This gets even greater. When we talk about tribe, language, people, and nation, it's not just talking about people in America getting along. This is a thing of us looking at the entire world of all of history, all of history. Do you know that we have been a part in our church of Bible translations in a big way, particularly over the last 10 years? I mean, we've been a part of it forever, but we really put our foot on the gas in the last 10 years. Let me give you an example. Since about 2006, so that'd be about 14 years, we have given our church, you have, I have, if you're a giver, you've given, online people, Siena, Cypress, downtown, we have given over $1 million to Bible translation. Can I get a little applause for that? Even those of you all in your home, come on. $1 million. We've had at least 18 language projects that we have been able to be a part of, either the full version of the Bible or a book of the Bible, over 18 different languages we've had. There's 8 missionary families that have been supported and helped supported by our church that are Bible translators. So we have really put this down. Why? Because we believe in Imago Dei. That's why. So this isn't something that's just a brand new thought. We believe in every tribe, every language, every people, and every nation being around the group, around the throne, to be there at all different groups. So let me just show you a quick little picture here. We've got here, these are some of the Bibles that we've helped to translate. These first 5 Bibles, did you know that the Yak group's got a New Testament here? The Sida group is here. I'm sure I'm butchering these names. Kilai, New Testament. Arazia, New Testament. Kavina, New Testament. And do you know that all 5 of these yellow ones, I just gave you their names, and you know what? They're not even their real names. Do you know why? Because they're such a persecuted people group. If I was to say their real names, they'd be in danger. Let me tell you what. I'm excited about this people group being around the throne of God with me to worship Christ in heaven. I'm super excited about these other ones being around the throne of God in our worship of heaven. What an incredible thing to be able to do. The Lango, the High, the Die, I shouldn't even try that, but this group is going to be there as well. They're going to be there. This one. Would you look at all of these that we have? And I'm so excited about that because our church is a part of gathering people into heaven. And we don't care what tribe you're from. We don't care what language you're from. We don't care what nation you're from. We don't care what people you're from. You have been made in the image of God. And I just want you to get this bigger than Minneapolis. Get it bigger. That's very important. I'm not negating that. But to get it bigger allows you then to take it smaller as well and to see God do something great and amazing. So let me just give you a couple thoughts. The Zinga people from Tanzania, they're going to be there, and we've helped with their Bible. The Luganhunru of Tanzania. There's going to be people that are 430,000 people of Sina from Malawi that are going to be there. And the Ethiopian tribes will be there that we've helped with. 43,000 people who were illiterate that can now read, now have a Bible in their language in Ethiopia because of our church. We've got New Testaments going out all over Africa. We've helped with a group called the Seed Company, with the Digo people group in Kenya, Africa, with a Polynesian, a kind of an outlying cluster of folks that I can't even give you their names. The Bella Project in Africa, the J people, code name for them because they're persecuted as well. We've got all of these different groups that we have helped with to be able to say we want every nation, tribe, and tongue and people group to be there. So that's what we have done in translation right here. Isn't that incredible? You've been a part of that as a church to fulfill Revelation 5:9 so that now we can look through this and we can go here and go, oh my goodness, can I love somebody that's a different race than me in America? You're doggone right, because I'm leaning on all this as well. I know who God is. I know what heaven's about. I know what worship is about. So I got this, and I got this. I can go big worldwide, and I could go across the street to my neighbor and my coworker and show love. Now, let me just give you a little bit of a thought here, too. Our missions office has Bibles in their missions office, and our missions office is prepared to give away Bibles in different languages because Houston is the most diverse city in the United States of America. We've heard that before. This is the ones we've been able to translate. These are the Bibles that we have in the missions office just in case someone comes to our church from a different language group. We've got Japanese, we've got, of course, Spanish, we've got French, we've got Farsi, we've got all different Middle Eastern places, we've got places from Asia as well, Vietnamese, we've got all of these Bibles. This is just what we just got on hand, just in case. And so how is we as people of God, if we're on mission here, then we've got to be on mission across the street as well. If we're on mission like this and realize the diversity of our city, then surely we can love people that are of different race deeper as well. Do you see it? This is what God's doing. He's doing something beautiful. He's drawing together all of those that have trusted in Jesus as their Savior and as we've trusted Christ. Now we're able to step out on mission across the world and on mission across the street. And that changes everything, doesn't it? Everything. Well, I don't like that, this, that. Well, do you like God? Because if you're in love with Jesus, then you got to be in love with those he's created in his image, Imago Dei. And so we're not jumping into some type of worldly philosophy. We're jumping into great biblical theology is what we're jumping into. And that's why the church can be the place that can shine and shine and shine with Christ. So let's be a church that is on mission. On mission. Across the oceans and across the streets. I'll give you just two things to just illustrate this. One, we just showed at all campuses a video of us being able to help with a radio tower that went up. Yesterday was the first radio broadcast from that radio tower in South Sudan. Amazing. Yeah, isn't that great? It's like 500,000 people, because of our giving, were able to hear the gospel. That's really great. That's amazing. That's incredible. And then I want to give you another side. So that's across the ocean. Let me tell you what would be a great picture for America to see. One of our first baptisms after COVID, or I mean, we're not after COVID yet, blah, blah, blah. So, okay, let me focus. Well, our first baptisms of coming back to church physically, that's how I should say it, okay, was a black staff member baptizing an engaged couple. It's a black staff member baptizing a white man who was going to marry a black woman. They were engaged. So a black staff member baptizing a white man who's going to marry a black woman. And you know what our congregation did? They stood on their feet in an absolute standing ovation, praise of God. And you know why we stood on our feet? That's not unusual for us to celebrate baptism. We celebrate baptism in our church. We stood on our feet. We celebrated baptism, not because of the racial things what were happening, but because of the spiritual things that were happening. And I don't know that anybody even noticed the racial things that were happening with that. But it was a beautiful picture of what we see here with the Imago Dei. Do you see it? So we're reaching out across the world in missions, and at the same time, we're celebrating what's happening with hope being here across racial lines in our day-to-day walking out of the Lord. Now, are we perfect? No. Are you perfect? No. Am I perfect? No. Is human race ever perfect? No. But we can be a growing relationship with Christ and to say, Lord, we want you to do your work in us, and we want to see things like you see it. You see it? A new song. Four groups, an amazing way. Last little thing, because I just want to illustrate this one more way. Try to hit it three or four different ways now. We've got a friend of ours in our church that they went with the oil industry, as we all know well, and they went across to the Middle East, and this is what they said when they got there. When we moved from the United States to the Middle East, I expected to have some restrictions on my religious freedoms. There were a few, but they did not hinder the thriving international church in my new home. Our city turned out to be a melting pot that included Christians from all over the world. Every Friday in hotel ballrooms all across this country in the Middle East became a place of worship for believers from many nations, tribes, and tongues. My American worship experience had been rather homogeneous. Worship looked more now like the people of every tribe, nation, tongue described by the Apostle John in Revelation chapter 5. Can you picture that? All these nations coming together. Yeah, we can clap for that. And that's where we want to be, right? We want to be Houston's First Baptist. Let all of Houston come and to be able to worship. We want to declare those sort of things to be a great thing. Now, let me hit this last part really fast in verse 10, okay? Let's complete this thing. And then you made them a kingdom of priests to our God, and they will reign on earth. So priest, what do priests do? Don't think Catholicism, okay? Biblical word here in priest to be able to talk about is what it is. Priests declare God's message to the people, and priests declare people's needs to God. That's what a priest is to do, right? It's to be this person kind of in the middle. Not that a priest or a pastor is more saved than anybody else. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm hoping right now to declare God's message to you and then also to say, hey, congregation, I want to pray on your behalf. I want to intercede on your behalf and love you well. So here in verse 10, he's saying, okay, now how's this thing gonna conclude, if you will, in this new song? That we're going to be able to be priests before the Lord, declaring the praises of his people, declaring prayers being lifted up, praise and prayer coming back around. So we want to be able to now to declare the word of God to people and say, how can I pray for you as well? And then it talks about, and we'll get to this in Revelation later, and reigning with God in that way. What a great thing. So what have we tried to say today? Here's what we tried to say. We didn't get a look into somebody's fancy house. We got to look into the throne room of God. What was kind of asked of us? Well, are we praising with a fresh heart, or we got old bananas? Are we filling the bowls with our prayers and letting the incense burn to God? When we look into the scriptures and look into the world, do we realize that God has got a heart for people that are dramatically different than you, most likely? And he wants you to love all people in America and across the ocean, so that we could have around the throne say, hope is here. Hope's here, and it's found in Jesus Christ. And we want to live it out because we believe in the Imago Dei, the image of God, and people that are black, and people that are Asian, and people that are Hispanic, and people that are white. It's his fingerprint. And people in South Sudan, and people that are in Europe, and people that are in Australia, people that are anywhere, because around the throne, we're going to look around and go, whoa, wow, are you kidding me? Look at that. This is incredible. And it's not just going to be America. It's going to be all of history, of all of time, of every nation, every tribe, every language, every people. Why? Because Jesus said in Matthew 28, this is how it's going to be. And in Acts chapter 1, this is how it's going to be. And it was fulfilled. So we come to Christmas. This excites us about Christmas. You know this song? Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It's the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining till he appeared, watch, and the soul felt its worth. What is that? That's about your soul, not your skin, not your nation, not your language. The soul, fingerprint of God, Imago Dei, felt its worth. A thrill of hope, a weary world rejoices. How weary can we be at the end of 2020? For yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees. Hear the angel voices, O night divine, when Christ was born. Truly he taught us, here it comes, to love one another. His law is love and his gospel is peace. Chains shall he break, why? For the slave is our brother. This was an abolitionist anthem at Christmas in the 1800s. And in his name, all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy in grateful chorus we raise. Let all within us praise his holy name. That sounds a whole lot like Revelation chapter 5 to me. Let's be that kind of people. Let's have that kind of Christmas. Let's praise and pray and love all men and women that have been created in the image of God, which is every one of them, as we look into the throne room of God. Father, we come in Jesus' name. Lord, thank you for the window that we can see into your heavens, God. We want to be like this. If we're believers in Christ, we are inspired by your word to live out your truth. And so, Jesus, we pray for the strength to live these things out. Father, would you use our church across the street and across the ocean by a heart change in us. Father, we want to lay down any prejudice. We want to lay down anything we've put before being a Christian. That we're a lawyer that happens to be a Christian, or a business person that happens to be a Christian, or even a mom or a dad, that we place that before being a Christian. Let us get first things first. Thank you for heaven, God. And may a look at your second coming give us greater hope for your first coming. Oh, holy night of our dear Savior's birth. What'd you hear from God today? What do you need to lay down before him? Do that in this moment. Do you know Christ as Savior? Trust him. Place your faith in him. Ask him to forgive your sins and save your soul. Place your faith in him alone. We love you. Jesus, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us at one of our four locations, at The Loop, Cypress, Downtown, or Siena. Follow us on social media or visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.